Om Shanti. So all of you must have practiced this self-respect, huh? Master Almighty Authority. This was the self-respect we have taken for today. Do you remember? Yeah, so you have, please do this during the day, and any of you, if you had any special experience, you can share that tomorrow with that. Anyway, this evening we have special angel from London. This is Bina Ben, who has been in the Gyan for 24 years and surrendered for 22 years. I think all her childhood started in London with Dadi and Jayanti Ben. She's been very close to Baba's special instruments and taken a lot of sustenance from them. At present, she is in Edinburgh, in Scotland. She is the instrument center in charge of the Edinburgh Center. Is it like that? Louisa. Okay, she is with Louisa Ben. Also, she is an instrument. Anyway, a beautiful instrument of Baba, inspiring many souls around the globe. Now I request her to speak about the topic, being the companion of the truth. Wonderful and beautiful topic. I would request her to share her inspirations, her trainings, and also highlights regarding the topic. Let's give a big hand to Bina Ben.
No.
So it's our fortune to have the angel with us. So I request her to share.
Om Shanti. When I heard the topic being announced in the hall, I thought, oh, well, I should be able to speak on this. I was thinking a little earlier, what does it mean to have truth as my companion? And the first thought that came to my mind was that Baba is the truth. Baba is the ocean of truth. And so to have truth as my companion means to be in Baba's company, in the company of the truth. In the Murali we hear this term, satsang. Sat means the truth. Sang, company. So to be in the company of the truth is to be hand in hand with Baba. And to have Baba's company of truth means to be using Baba's knowledge. Every day we hear the Murali, and a lot of what we hear we do not even remember. Certainly I say for myself, I'm not able to retain. However, whatever is the most useful thing or relevant thing for me at that time automatically sticks in the memory. And so when we habitually hear the Murali on a daily basis, it is that the knowledge is in a very subconscious way filtering into the intellect. And so we are being colored by God's truth. Living in the world of falsehood, but we become the pillars of truth. And, you know, in the Lokic situation, when we have to work with Lokic people, then on the one hand, people think that to be able to fit in today's world, to be able to survive in the world, we do have to tell lies or tell stories or so that we can survive. But actually, when there's faith in Baba, when we uphold what we believe in, when we align ourselves with the truth, then Baba is very much our helper. And sometimes we hear in Daddy's class that when we are honest, it doesn't really matter even if the whole world is against us. But we have Baba on our side, and therefore there can only be victory. Right? So where there's truth, as often we hear in the Murli, the boat of truth may rock, but it will never sink. You remember this? So in truth, there is victory. That's another one of Baba's slogans. In truth, there's victory. But my faith has to be there. My belief that really Baba is beside me. And of course, through your own experiences, you will know. You will have that faith, I'm sure. Has there ever been that sort of situation in your life where, on the one hand, you speak the truth, on the other hand, there's a little bit of fear that on the work field or Brahmins or center situation, whatever it may be, that people may oppose you or may question you. Yet, maintaining that faith in Baba and upholding the truth, and you've been able to overcome the situation, and the fear dissolves because Baba has helped you across. Ever had that situation in your life? You see for yourself that if you hold on to Baba's hand, the hand of truth, then Baba is there to help each one of us. You have to practice and experiment and see for yourselves. Another thing is, you know, in Brahmin life, when we know that we're all studying the same things, we all have knowledge, we all have yoga, and yet, for all of us, the truth is a little bit different. You feel that? In the sense, what Baba tells us is the absolute truth. How much I follow that is, I suppose, to a different percentage for all of us, and hence this is what makes us number wise. And I don't know how many of Dadi's classes I've heard on honesty, maintaining honesty. So in this, really, we should not be number wise. The truth is the truth. There shouldn't be any deviation from that, really. It's just that, according to each one's value system, each one's belief is slightly different. And hence, the truth for each one has some variation. So what I may value may be quite different to somebody else. And so what I may uphold as the most important, for instance, honesty, what I may think is the most important may be of less consideration to someone else. And so there's a little bit of difference in all of us in this sense. But Baba wants to make all of us the same and equal to himself. And so through study, through classes, this is what Baba's doing. He is trying to shape us in the same mold, and that mold you could take it to be Brahma Baba's life, that we are all becoming like Baba, Brahma Baba, this expression Bap Saman, equal to the Father, has come about through Brahma Baba's life, that we are becoming equal to Father Brahma. So then in this way we become like Shiv Baba too. So we have to see ourselves. I don't know if any of you were, actually probably most of you were in Dadi's class last night in Gyan Sarovar. She was using the Hindi word saf, which means clean, and the word safe, the English word safe. And she had been asked this question. Do you remember this? She had been asked this question that, you know, there are wars going on around the world, that why doesn't God stop these things? And she said that Baba cannot prevent these things, that there'll be civil war. Brahma Baba had visions of civil war, atomic war, calamities, all these things. But Baba, Shiva Baba, cannot intervene. He cannot prevent these things. And these things are going to increase even more. But she said to everyone, you know, knowing that the guests for that IPIP retreat, Inner Peace, Inner Power retreat, they are not PKs, they're very new, they haven't done the course, yet she was saying to them that if you remain clean internally, you will remain safe. And of course that's the same message for Baba's children. And only we, ourselves individually, can see in the mirror of our own heart how clean we are internally. How honest are we with ourselves? Because this is where honesty and truth begin. We can deceive other people and get away with it. We can only tell half the truth and hide the rest with others. But the important thing is how honest we are with ourselves. Because there is, from time to time, self-deception. And one of the ways in which we deceive ourselves, we think everything is okay. I think my effort is okay. That I'm doing all the things that Baba wants me to do, I'm following his systems, the disciplines, but the honesty within that. Am I simply following because it's a discipline? Or am I following because I have love for the disciplines? Because I see the benefit in that for myself, and that these disciplines are actually enabling me to move forward. Am I doing it with my heart and soul? Or am I doing it because I'm supposed to be doing it? So, absolute honesty with myself is crucial for my own survival and for my own inner power, because otherwise the slightest thing of upheaval that comes, it may be just small tests from the Brahmin family or from Baba directly. The smallest thing is going to shake my stage. So, if I'm truly honest with myself, then my every day of this Brahmin life will be one that's creating a very strong foundation. And the building of my life is strong. But if I don't have that absolute honesty with myself, then what happens is that a lot of time goes by, and then I look around and I think, what have I done in all these years? What have I done in all these years of my Brahmin life? I feel like I haven't got anywhere. And I see younger ones, new ones who have come, and they've galloped in front of me. And they've gone ahead. And the reason is, there's a lack of honesty. Anybody have had this sort of thought or these sort of feelings? Yes. Mm. So time, we know, is so important. And one question somebody asked to Jendiben, and then she was telling us in the general class, somebody said to her, I don't know what it is, but when I'm listening to class, or sometimes I'm listening to Murali or experiences of others, I become a little bit tearful. Why is that? And she said that within our own efforts, we have not really been sincere. We have not made the kind of effort over the years that we should have done. And so, because the soul is not content with the self, then when we are faced with truth or reality, then this emotion comes about. And the soul feels tearful. And when she said that, this is going back a number of years, I can't remember how long ago, I thought to myself, I can understand this. And, you know, it helped me a lot, because I started seeing myself in a different way, and started seeing where it was that I was not really paying attention to myself. So, you know, sincerity in our own effort is also where we must be very honest and truthful with ourselves, because there is nobody else who can make this effort for us. This is work that we have to do on ourselves. Of course, we receive so much help from our seniors, whether in Madhuban, in our own service places, whether it's the Brahmin family seniors, those who are older than us in Gyan. The Brahmin family is very much supportive, actually, in helping us move forward. It's just that from time to time our vision changes and hence our attitude changes. And we start thinking that others are not cooperating, or people are not listening to me, or different things like this. But it's actually that I'm coming from a point of weakness within, that I'm not seeing the help that's being offered, but instead it's something of my own weakness that I may be projecting onto others. It's something that's of defect within me, and I'm projecting it onto someone else, and then thinking they are like this with me. So again, I really need to look at myself very, very honestly and see, is it really other people who are behaving in the way I think, or is it myself? Does this make sense? Does it make sense? So, honesty is at many different levels. And one of the hardest things is to tell the truth. When we've done something wrong, we know we've done something wrong, and when we started doing it, we even were aware that what I'm doing is actually not the right thing to do. But something is compelling us to do it. Maybe some stubbornness, some manmat, some desire, something of my attachment. Something is triggering me to do a wrongful act. When you even know in your mind that if my teacher finds out, she won't be happy. yet, something's forcing me to do the wrong thing. And I'm doing it with the intention that there'll be benefit in this. Now, for all of us, there is an inner voice, the conscience. And any time there is conflict within, conflict of my conscience telling me to not do this thing, yet, whether it's a sanskar or whether it's something external that's compelling me to do this thing, it leads to conflict within. And so this is a very clear indication that I must not do this thing. I must not. Anytime this battle inside. Definitely it's something I must not do. And I need to listen to my conscience, follow the conscience, because the conscience is my friend. The conscience is guiding me according to Baba's truth. Because once I do the wrong thing, what happens? I will have to say 1,000 things to cover up my mistake, my wrong action. And so I'm aware that I've stepped out of line. Let's try to control. Yeah, so I was saying when I've stepped out of line and I'm aware of it, then there comes the the crunch moment when I have to confess that I have done this thing wrong, that I shouldn't have done. And it takes a huge amount of courage to tell your senior sister that I did this thing wrong and I know I shouldn't have, and I don't know what made me do it, but I did it. Ever had to confess in this way? Anybody ever had to do that? Well, I think mostly I would say all of you are very good. And I remember somebody saying that, try and recall the exact words. Yeah, they said that it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. You know, sometimes you want to do something and it means you have to go to your senior teacher and ask for permission. And when you ask a question, where you need permission for something, before you even go and ask the question, first of all, you have to understand that when you ask, it means you then have to follow. Right? When you ask, it means that whatever you're going to be told, you then have to follow that. Because sometimes we kind of know at the back of the mind what the answer is going to be. And it may not be the answer that I want to hear. So once I've asked and then I get the answer, it's not a favorable answer, but it's what I have to do. So what happens sometimes is that people know that they're not going to get the permission, so they just go ahead and do the thing, and then it's easier to ask for forgiveness. Then it's easy to go and say, oh yes, I'm sorry about that. In the UK, these two words are very common. Thank you and sorry. We do wrong things and then we go and say sorry. But really, really, what am I doing? I'm just wasting my time and I'm not being honest with myself. So I have to look at all these areas, because it's just that there's an accumulation of mistakes. And the worst thing of all is that one's yoga is affected. Right? So many waste thoughts, so many unnecessary thoughts, and instead of my yoga being with Baba, my yoga is in the action that was wrong and what my teacher is going to say, and I shouldn't have done this, and repetitive thoughts like this. And of course I've moved away from what Baba wants me to do, and so that yoga becomes weak, or that link breaks, depending on the severity of my action. And there's drowsiness in Murali. We wonder. There's various reasons for drowsiness in Murali class. Or sleepiness. It's not just that I'm tired. But sometimes Dadi uses this word punishment, and Baba Avyakt Bhaktada also, that how do we experience punishment? I think the greatest punishment must be when the yoga, that link, breaks and we're not able to connect with Baba. Or that link is weak and we're making a lot of effort for yoga. I can't think of anything being worse than that. And at the time of listening to the Murali, it's like it's there but it's not registering, and there's drowsiness. All of these are signs that there's something that I'm doing that's not right. So all these things need checking, and checking with honesty, and checking with that intention of wanting to change as well. And you know, if I am careless in these ways and I'm making excuses to myself and to other people, then what's going to happen to me? At the moment we see Baba, for many years actually, Baba has been the loving father. And the seniors, many a time, they cover up for our mistakes. Dadi often says that Baba, when you tell Baba with honesty your mistake, then Baba will forgive half of what we have done wrong. And for the rest, we have to make effort. But then for how long? It's when that intention to change is there, that I don't make that same mistake again. That is when Baba forgives half of my wrongdoing. But really, for how long will we carry on making mistakes and being careless and making excuses and cheating ourselves, not being completely honest with ourselves? Because so far Baba is still the loving father. But Baba has told us also that Baba is the supreme judge as well. And there'll come a time that for every one wrong deed, there will be hundredfold punishment. At the moment, it's like Baba is just not seeing those things. In the Lokik situation, one mistake, one-fold punishment. Why? Because they are ignorant. They don't have this knowledge. But for all of Baba's children, we all have understanding of Gyan. And really, there is no excuse. So, rather than have to face Baba as the Supreme Judge or Dharmraj, let me put myself straight, put myself right, so that I can hold my head up high. Because when we do the wrong thing, we look away. And we can't look into Baba's eyes or the eyes of our senior instruments because there's something that we are hiding. So, honesty with ourselves means we feel clean inside. We're happy with ourselves. And then when there's that inner happiness, we do things with enthusiasm, with love. And when all these ingredients are there, then it shows in our service as well. We see the fruit of the service as well. And that brings even greater happiness. So, we all are mirrors for one another, and Madhavan itself is described as the palace of mirrors. You know that? Yes, Madhavan is often described as the palace of mirrors, because here we have the powerful mirror of Brahma Baba, and we see ourselves that how much have I become like the Father. And we see Baba's children, the Madhavan Nivasis, and their fortune, but their renunciation, and you know, where am I within that? Where is my renunciation? And how much fortune have I created simply through renunciation? So this is a very much a place in which we can check ourselves and see ourselves. Now I'm going to allow a little bit of time for questions and comments, because I think it's very nice to hear from all of you. And I hope I haven't been too strong, have I? Because I do this at home, you know. Sometimes when it's a class of new students and their teachers have been very good, very sweet, they've pampered the students so much, and then I have a chance to meet them, and I'm a little bit like a bulldozer. You know what a bulldozer is like? You know this? A bulldozer is something that digs up the road. It's a very big vehicle that kind of digs up the road, and then there's another thing that's like a roller that flattens the road. So, I hope I haven't been like that in this class. Well, personal experience, I would say that what I've shared with you actually has been a little bit of a sprinkling of my personal experiences. Yeah, because it's not just in general terms, but things that I have seen in myself over the years and that I thought would be valuable to share with you.
What makes you bring that connection to the
truth? I think just honesty with myself and feeling comfortable with myself is very important to me. And because that's that inner comfort is very important. I just can't stop myself from spilling out the truth. I just can't. And one thing I have learnt is that I need not be honest. Yes. One thing I've learned is that I need not be honest in the kind of overly honest, you know, where instead of simply telling my teacher what the truth is, I keep repeating that same truth to all the Brahmin family who are in contact with me. I've learned that I need not do that. I can just say it once in the right place and that's enough. Because before, it was like the slightest little thing that went wrong and I simply had to speak about it there and then. So that sense of feeling comfortable within is very important. And one thing that Avyak Bap Dada often has said for double foreigners is that they're very honest. And I must say that I feel that for myself. Yeah. And so when I see other people, I think to myself, I'm aware of the things they're doing wrong, and I'm kind of just beginning to, here in Madhuban, beginning to feel that actually it's okay, that's their drama, that's the best they know, that's the best they can do, let it be, because I need not become disturbed by seeing the things that other people are not honest with themselves about. Because if I allow those things to accumulate in me, it is that my vision for them becomes one of dislike. They're like this. I don't want to know. And that also is not what Baba wants. Because, yes, Baba said that be aware of the Brahmin family and people's weaknesses, but don't harbour that within yourself. That is, don't fill that in your own heart, because your own heart becomes like a dustbin, or you become heavy about those things. So, I remember this from Baba. Whenever I see something like that, I remember, yes, Baba said this. So then I let go. Yes, okay. But a few minutes for anybody who wants to share something. Yes. There are souls who are emotional in the sense there's a great deal of love, you know. And one of the ways that love is expressed is through tears. But one instinctively knows for oneself whether there's something that's because of happiness, or there's something that there's a kind of a feeling of a lack through my own lack of effort, and then seeing others where I feel I could be this or I should have achieved this. And there's a little bit of a difference between what I could have been and what I am. And so when I see someone who's achieved it, who's really moved on, and I feel that little sense of repentance, that's what it is, that I haven't quite managed it because I haven't paid that attention that I needed to have done. However, it's not too late to change my outcome still. There is still that margin for making effort. And that's quite refreshing to think that. Does that make... I hope that answers the sister's question. Okay. Anything else?